This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Yi. Today, we are talking about urinary tract infections in children. So you might be able to tell when you have a UTI, but if you're a parent, how would you know whether your child might be facing that problem, especially if your child is younger and doesn't know how to tell you about certain symptoms or problems? So in the studio with me to discuss this is Dr. Yao Kian Man, consultant pediatric nephrologist from Sunway Medical Center. And I'll be asking him things like, you know, what parents should keep their eye on and why early diagnosis and treatment of UTIs in children is important. If you have any questions related to this topic, you can call us at 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon, Dr. Yao. How are you today?
Good afternoon. Hi, it's my pleasure to be here. Hi, nice week. Yeah.
It's so good to be able to talk about this issue, which I'm, you know, in all this time doing the health show, I don't think we discussed this very much, and I've certainly not given much thought of it to it, even as a parent myself. Yeah. And now, of course, I'm very worried. but let's start with the basics first. Yeah. Can you describe, you know, what's going on when we are talking about the urinary system? What's the anatomy look like?
Right. I think so. We'll start from basic, right? I think first of all, we need to understand the structure of the, you know, the system of the urinary tract, right? Basically, I think so, all human will be born with a two kidney, one on the right side, one on the left side. And this kidney basically is formed by 1 million of nephrons, the functional unit of the kidney, right? Since birth. And this is a place that help you to filter the excess water and help you to excrete, you know, the toxic waste from your body. Yep. So making your body more suitable for, you know, for life kind of things. Yep. Mm-hmm. So after the urine been produced from the kidney, they will drain to a structure called ureter, a piping, okay, down to a reservoir called bladder. Right. Yep. So down from the bladder, okay, then you will empty, the urine, okay, through a structure called urethra. Mm-hmm. So this is a normal structure of, of the urinary tract system, okay. It functions well, okay, then the urine will flow well, with no obstruction kind of things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
Are there any ways in which a child's anatomy would be different from an adult's?
I think we have enough of congenital deformities, you know. So they're just not confined to the other system. It also can happen to this urinary tract system. So you can actually categorize into three groups. One is whether the kidney is not forming well, all right? Then making the filter system not well function. Mm-hmm. All right. Second thing is with regard to the piping, you know, so the ureter, urethra, they might have obstructions, you know, down the road, down the mm-hmm. journey. And sometimes, you can have a problem with the nerve activity with regard to the function of this system. So that also making the system not in the best position to function. Mm-hmm. And the other possibility in the sense that during the disruption, during the fetal process, okay, the kidney might actually fail to split into two or fail to migrate in the supposed position that should be. Yeah, so all this can happen. Yeah.
All right. And what's considered normal when it comes to urine production and flow for children?
Yeah, I think so. It's probably one of the concerns that most
first-born parents,
you know, they'll be concerned of. They probably will ask, you know, how much diaper change will be sufficient, you know, for a baby kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So in the general, in the sense that for a day one baby, okay, mm-hmm. probably a change diaper once a day kind of things. And day two, two diapers a day. day three, three diapers, you know. Day four, four diapers. So then probably after day four of life, you're probably like, you know, talking about like a 4 to 6 diaper change a day. So it's quite simple rules to remember. Mm-hmm. Then obviously, after 1 year of life, okay, then you're talking about passing urine like going to the toilet 3 to 4 times a day, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So, and a normal child probably will attain a full control of the bladder, means that they no longer need to wear diaper by the age of 3 years, sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. You know, we, for adults, I know that the recommendation is to drink 2 liters of water a day. What about for children?
Well, obviously, there's quite excessive, you know, excessive for a child to drink 2 liters. I think how much to drink is depends on how much the body require, right? So, generally, I think so. We say 2 liters for adult. That is actually based on the ideal body size of an adult, about 40 kilos and above. And obviously, child, you know, their weight are variable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may range from 3 kilo, you know, for a newborn up to a 40 kilo in an 80-year-old kid. So, I would say the amount needed to drink very much depends on the body size. But generally speaking, in one child who is less than 5 years old, all right, average of water intake should be around like a liter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So once you grow bigger, right, into a teenage age kind of thing, your body, your water intake should be ranged about 1.5, you know, to 1.8 liter.
Right.
So and this amount is not arbitrary.
Okay.
It still depends on what you call that, your level activity. You know, for those who are actually involved in a lot of outdoor activity and export under sun, so you probably need to drink more.
So coming to what we're discussing today, urinary tract infections, what causes a UTI?
Yeah, right. I think before I come to the cause, okay, probably it's good to debunk some of the myth that we know about this problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I think so, a lot of the audience here might, have heard about UTI in adult, right? And most of the times when you UTI in adult, okay, it's probably not something significant, you know, you probably can just, self-treat it with antibiotic at home and things may just resolve and without, any long-term, you know, complication of sequelae.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so in children, right? And if children develop UTI, especially the younger age they develop UTI, urinary tract infection, okay, it's likely there is a more bigger problem behind, okay? It's just like you might open up a Pandora box on out of it and you discover something more sinister, right? That's one of the first myth, okay? The second myth in the sense that a lot of people think that UTI, okay, if someone have a UTI, they will be able to complain that, you know, they might have a pain during a passing urine. Their urine might be smelly, kind of things. But it doesn't behave that way in children. Especially the younger the children, okay, most of the time, the only symptom they have is just fever.
Okay.
And that's it. Mm. And there's really not much of a verbal cue.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. But since you're on that, so fever, because there's an infection in the body, but any changes to the urine production?
Not really. Oh. Yeah. It's really much depends on what caused it, the urine tract infection.
Okay. Do you want to go into that then?
Yeah, I guess. All right. So, of course, when you talk about urine tract infection in children, the younger they are, okay, if they develop this problem, it's slightly related to congenital. It means that the structural problem that I mentioned earlier, you know, they might have obstruction somewhere in the urinary tract system, or the commonest that cause urinary tract infection in a young baby usually is a condition called vesicoureteral reflux. I think it's a very jargon terms kind of thing. Yeah, it's basically in layman term, it means that the urine supposed to be flowing one direction from the kidney down to the bladder, right? But unfortunately, I think this is something to do with maturation process. Unfortunately, because the bladder muscle, the junction between the upper pipe, which is called ureter, and the bladder, okay, the junction is very lax, all right? So it doesn't produce like a one waft flow. So ended up the urine actually backflow from the bladder to the ureter and sometimes even up to the kidney. And this condition is quite common in young baby.
That is a congenital problem?
Yes.
You're born with it?
Yeah, you're born with it. But most of them should The problem should get better over time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
oh, maturation.
It's a maturation process.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But if it's occurring in very young babies, then how are you to know that it's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why, sir, just go back to what I mentioned just now. Remember the myth that I mentioned that, you know, most of the young children, they don't really have a typical adult symptoms of urinary tract infection.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, sir, when a young baby develops UTI, the main symptom is only fever.
Mm-hmm.
Fever.
Mm-hmm.
And only a very small amount of them will actually have other systemic features, other symptoms like probably the feeding are not, you know, not at the same like previously. And they're probably not thriving very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And sometimes if parents are observant enough, they may find the urine a bit smelly than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all these symptoms are very subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in fact, I think in the research done in the worldwide, okay, it actually showed that I think 6 to 8% of children, all right, okay, presented with a UTI in emergency department.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They are feverish, okay. Mm-hmm. But they're actually having concomitant UTI.
Okay, all right.
You know?
So, I mean, I think when it's a very young baby, I'm sure parents would be concerned about a fever.
Yeah.
But how would the clinician, the doctor, or the specialist, what would they do to distinguish it from other conditions first?
Yeah, yeah. I think first of all, awareness is very important. Right. Because most of the times, I'm sure that many of our, we have learned from our four parents, you know, that people will tell you that, you know, if a baby develops fever, probably not something to worry of. Probably it's related to teething or, you know, vaccinations,
yes,
that kind of thing, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do, and I mean, in my experience, I do came across many of, you know, similar scenario, but at the end, they found to have a UTI. So I think awareness is very important, both from the public and also from health practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
If a young baby develops fever and it's not no explainable cause, means that they don't have any cough, you know, any flu, you know, kind of things, right? UTI should be always in the list of the differential diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So especially if the fever is high grade, if the temperature is more than 39 Celsius,
mm-hmm.
right, and the fever is, the baby might have the fever for a day,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's best to bring the baby, okay, for a thorough urine check.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that when we come back from the break to find out, you know, what is this urine check all about? What parents will need to expect? Because we've already primed you to be thinking about the possibility of a UTI when there's an unexplained fever, especially for very young babies. So I'm speaking today to Dr. Yao Kian Man, consultant pediatric nephrologist from Sunway Medical Center. We're discussing urinary tract infections among children. Call us at 03-7733-2900 if you have any questions for Dr. Yao, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Ik. In the studio with me, Dr. Yao Kian Man, consultant pediatric nephrologist from Sunway Medical Center. We're discussing urinary tract infections in children. It's more common than many parents may realize. There are many possible causes of it. Very often, it's different from adult UTIs in the sense that there are often actually due to congenital issues that children are born with, related to the structures in the urinary system. One very common cause is when the passage between the bladder and the urethra is lax. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so instead of urine flowing from the urethra to the bladder, it flows backwards from the bladder back to the urethra and even into the kidneys, and that can cause the infection. Now, what has, I think the thing that stuck in my mind from the earlier part of this conversation is the fact that children will not have the typical symptoms like adults do with UTIs. There won't be pain. There's not always smell associated with the urine. The key symptom is a fever. So if you're a very young child, if your child has an unexplained fever, yes, there could be many issues or potential causes, but UTIs should always be one of the possibilities to be considered. And you said, Dr. Yao, that Oh, before I forget, yes, do call us if you have any questions. Our lines are open at 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We do have a question from Cheryl, which I'll get to later. Yep. But I wanted to quickly follow up on the point that we left off before the break, Dr. Yao, about, you know, if there's enough suspicion that it could be a UTI, yep. When you go and see a doctor, what are the steps that come after that?
Right. I think first of all, I think the doctors will ask, you know, about any peculiar symptoms. You know, definitely, I think history taking is a part to the success of that picking out the UTI, right? Then of course, I think when you come to examinations, the doctor will try to palpate and see they can feel any bladder and kidney kind of things, which is shouldn't be palpable, you know, during the examination in a normal case, right? So, and definitely, I think subsequently they will try to collect the urine from your child and to see any marker or to suggest that, you know, there's an ongoing urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to this question from Cheryl first before we continue. Cheryl says his daughter is 12 and is still bedwetting. Would you have any advice?
Yeah, I guess I think probably some would thought that the bedwetting probably is not quite related to the topic that we're talking about, UTI. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think if a child have a bedwetting and UTI is one of the possibility to think of, but I think it still leave too much of room for me to to actually narrow down the diagnosis for Cheryl's daughter. Of course, I need to know more history in the sense that whether this so-called bedwetting associated with other symptoms like daytimes leaking, you know, or what you call that, any problem with passing motion, you know, and whether this bedwetting has been there since birth until now, or the girl in between actually has gone dry, then these symptoms reappear.
Mm-hmm.
So because all of these things will point to a different etiology or causes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So, but again, so if you're referring to just primary causes for bedwetting, or we call it the nocturnal enuresis, right? So yes, it does cause a lot of social stigmata and anxiety among parents and even the child themselves, because it probably no one can stand a child still wearing, you know, diaper at night times at 12 years old. So, true enough, I think most children actually became dry when they reached 3 years old. But a substantial amount, about 15%, will still remain to having a night bedwet, okay, you know, until a later age group. And that's very much depends on family history kind of things. I would say if there's a concern, just bring her to a doctor and just get a checkout and, you know,
Well, would a pediatrician be a good place to
start?
Yeah.
I think any general pediatrician will be manage to sort out the problem. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we talked about sort of what a doctor would be looking for. But when it comes to treating the UTI, what does that look like?
I think, of course, once a child is diagnosed with UTI, I think first of all, I think a physician, we need to decide whether the urinary tract infection, where is the site of the urinary tract infection, and is there any underlying cause or congenital problems that might enhance, worsen the infection and cause the infection, right? So when you talk about site of infections, right, we are actually talking about whether the infection is confined to the bladder or the infection advanced up to the kidney, right? Because it depends on the site of infection, the route and the choice of the antibiotic are very different, and also that affect the duration of the antibiotic as well as the long-term outcome. Yeah.
Right. Okay. You know, if it's caused by the problem you mentioned earlier where the urethra is lax and the urine flows backwards, children may grow out of that, how then do you treat that?
Yeah, I think obviously when we are talking about vesical urethral reflux, okay, first you definitely need to make a correct diagnosis. And to make such diagnosis, a baby will need a field imaging of the system, to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do, while waiting the problem to settle with age, okay, we'll try, I think the aim of the treatment is to try to reduce, okay, or try to prevent recurrent infection, urinary tract infection, right? So some baby will actually to be put on a long-term antibiotic prophylaxis on night. And for having said, okay, I think the presentation are quite drastically different between a boy or girl, right? Mm-hmm. So for boy, just by doing a circumcision, you can almost eliminate 2/3 of the infection in future.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do so for female, right? Right. You can't do so for girl. So girl definitely gone through a separate path of treating it and, of course, the DC progression.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but of course, if someone have a underlying vesicular urinary reflux, okay, this baby will need to be on a constant follow-up by a pediatrician or pediatric nephrology.
For how long?
I would say it all depends, okay. If a child have this problem, but do not have a recurrent UTI, so sometimes after they have we'll follow up them until the toilet train, right? But if, for instance, for those who are not so fortunate, they have a UTI and they might have with that followed by a kidney damage kind of thing, we need to follow them for life.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right. In these children who have this reflux problem, is it possible that even despite treatment, they are always going to be at higher risk of UTIs even in adulthood?
Not really. Yeah. I think just pertaining to where you are, the vesicular urinary reflux. Okay. Because we know that the maturation progress will somehow take place in later age. It definitely don't at once progress until adult age.
Mm.
Just that before the maturation, the full maturation take place, we need to at all costs prevent further UTI that can further impair the kidney function.
Mm, yeah. Okay, all right. Mm. I'm also worried, if UTIs are missed, especially among the very young children, and if it's not recognized and treated, what would happen?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I would say that, okay, if the UTI, okay, means that the infection has already reached the kidney, right? And if it left untreated, right, the kidney might get a scar from that episode of UTI.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times people would think that, a scar probably, it's just like you get a cut on your skin and over time it heals, right? Kidney doesn't behave that manner. Mm-hmm. Remember that I first mentioned that every living individual should born with 1 million of nephron, right? So with every scarring, the amount of nephron will reduce.
Mm.
So, and it doesn't regenerate.
Okay.
So, the more scar you acquire from the repeated UTI, so at the end of the day, your kidney may cease to function.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And when down the road would that happen?
For VUR per se, okay, I think in Malaysia itself, we will say about 10% of the adult with end-stage renal disease, the causes are due to a VUR.
Oh,
yeah.
10%, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
So just imagine that we have 40,000 individual adult on dialysis, at any time now.
Mm.
So you can imagine the substantial amount of them who have an undiagnosed childhood UTI with such condition and eventually progress to end stage, probably in the late teen or early adulthood.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think things have improved in terms of that sensitivity towards recognizing it?
Yeah, I think so. Great thanks to awareness, amongst the health professional kind of things.
Mm.
This era, okay, any young children presented with UTI, especially less than 3 years old, the first thing in mind is we always try to order an ultrasound or imaging of the kidney, the urinary tract, just to make sure that, we don't miss out any more sinister defect. Yeah.
All right. Is there anything related to children holding in their urine? And we know that some children do this. Is that linked to developing a UTI?
Yes, obviously. I think so. Especially when a school-going children, okay, came to a doctor complaining of a painful menstruation or some foul-smelling urine, or eventually diagnosed a UTI, that should be the first thing in mind. They probably just, they got this because they voluntarily holding their bladder. Mm. And in fact, they're not just holding their bladder. A big amount of them actually having an ongoing constipation as well. Mm. They're also holding their gut, So, obviously, so this is a very common problem among school-going children. Yeah, and with this era, I think, all children might have a lot of screen time, They might probably just focus more into screen than going to toilet. Mm.
Do you think parents can do?
Well, I think generally we need to understand that a child, we need to attend to toilet and pass urine like 3 to 4 times a day. So, it shouldn't be more than 8 hours, apart.
Apart?
So, okay. So I think if you notice that your child is not attending to toilet so frequent, or if you happen to notice your child is like rushing to toilet, or probably before, she had done the business, she actually late or he late, they're sitting like cross-leg position, they're probably holding their urine.
I see.
Probably something to be concerned of. Too.
And this is in the school-going age?
Yes, most likely. Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. Let's say pre-COVID times, when kids are in school, parents aren't really keeping an eye on these routines.
Yeah, In fact, I think so. We notice this usually in school-going children because it seems like in school, you probably don't have the luxury to go to the toilet at your own will.
It shouldn't be a luxury. It's a need, isn't it? All right, but something for parents to keep an eye on. Just a question on WhatsApp. A listener wants to know if liver and kidney scarring behave similarly?
No, I think it doesn't behave similarly. Okay, liver cells tend to regenerate, right? It got injured or kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Kidney scar don't regenerate. It's formed from life. Yeah, and in fact, I think study has shown that those children who develop a kidney scar, their chances of getting a kidney failure is higher in adulthood. Their chances of getting hypertension is much higher than the normal population.
Mm,
yeah.
All right. So, we want to diagnose and manage childhood UTIs as early as possible. Any final word on what parents and guardians can do to prevent UTIs in children?
Yeah. I think first of all, should be early detections play a major role. So if a baby or a young child have fever, don't just brush off the complaint. Always bring the child to see a doctor and make sure the diagnosis is correct, right? I think second thing in the sense that when the diagnosis has been made, a treatment need to be initiated in time.
Mm.
The longer you delay the treatment, the chances of the child develop a kidney scar is higher.
Mm.
And of course, for those family with an older child, try to advise not to hold their bladder.
Mm.
And also, if they are constipated, make sure that it's being sorted out as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Yao. I've been speaking to Dr. Yao Kian Man, consultant pediatric nephrologist from Sunway Medical Center. We've been discussing urinary tract infections in children. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.